Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who supported me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So, huge shout-out to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. Today's episode of the podcast is another in the Know a Brewer series, where I bring awesome content creators and members of the community on to talk about their unique perspectives and processes for building EDH and CEDH decks. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's episode, Anna, also known as AnnaMT1992. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
No problem, it's great having you on here. Before we begin, Anna, could you plug the content that you create real quick so the folks out there can find your stuff?
Of course. So the main place you can find me is I'm very active on Twitter on AnnaMT1992. I also stream Commander every Thursday and Sunday over on Twitch, and I plan to do more stuff in the future, but for now, just Sundays and Thursdays over there. Also under AnnaMT1992. And yeah, I have put all my Magic decks up on Moxfield. I am on Instagram and TikTok, all that fun social media.
Awesome.
But the main thing is Twitter and Twitch.
Awesome. Do you have a link tree, perchance?
I do, yeah.
Okay, I'll make sure to drop that in the description to this video so everyone out there can find your stuff.
Awesome.
All right. So, Anna, again, as I've asked everyone else who's been on this show before, basically what I want to do over the next 15, 20 minutes or so is basically walk us through your process of building an EDH deck, starting from the very first time you get an idea for a particular deck all the way to when you finally have the first 100 cards that you're going to take into your first couple of games there. Obviously, we know things are going to change over time. You're going to make cuts later on. But basically, how do you get started? How do you kind of start building the guts of the deck? And then, really, are there any interesting things about how you try to fill out the last pieces there to get to your 100 cards? Just any kind of fun little quirks? Do you, do you use a lot of internet resources? What kinds of strategies do you enjoy? Things like that. So, without further ado, I'd like to just give you the floor and see where it goes.
Of course. So, normally, I get inspired by one creature in particular for my decks, like in terms of my unicorn deck. When Emil was announced, I was like, yep, I'm doing unicorns. Or when Tiamat was spoiled, I knew I needed to make a Tiamat dragon deck. And the same thing with when Crimson Vow was released with Edgar and Olivia. I was like, wow, that would be so much fun to build a deck with those two as the commanders. So I really just get inspired by usually a single creature. And then I build off of that, trying to think of like, well, what is this commander specifically trying to do and how can I accomplish that in this deck? Is it tribal or is it leaning towards something else? What's my ultimate win con? All that kind of stuff. And normally I start with my land base whenever I build a deck. I have the same number of lands in pretty much all of my decks. I try to go for like 35, and that seems to be working out for me so far. And then I do the cards like, easy includes, cards that I usually put in every single deck if I'm playing that color. Like, for example, Teferi's Protection is like one of my favorite auto includes. If I'm playing a white deck, that's automatically in there. Or if I'm playing like a green deck, I like to use the free commander spell, like Obscuring Haze. That's an auto include for me.
Just got a whole lot more expensive, honestly. I mean, that that price spike just happened. I got mine a year or two ago and it was like 50 cents and now it's $8 to $10. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing is that when I build decks, I Not all of my decks are proxies, but I do start off by using test cards and proxies to build decks.
Sure.
Just because, like, I want to be able to really get a feel for what this deck is trying to do. And most of the time, the endpoint is very different from the beginning point, even if it, as it goes through like a lot of iterations and stuff. So like my unicorn deck, for example, I probably put it together about a year ago with a bunch of black and white test cards. And now I'm like almost halfway done foiling it out. And it's so different than it was back then. Because now I really have like the end goal of this deck. I know exactly what I'm trying to do with it. Every time I go to tutor, I know exactly what I'm going to get. Like I know this deck inside and out. So now I'm like putting all that effort into like finding the real cards. But like for a deck, for example, like my Crimson Vow vampire theme deck, it's still mostly proxies because I'm still not sure with what I'm where I want it to go. Like, do I want to keep it really themed, or do I want to try and make like a really good vampire with like Edgar Markov as like the head of it? Like, I that deck is still kind of going in a few different directions, so I don't want to like invest too much money into it just for it to switch up. So it kind of like makes me feel a lot more relaxed in terms of like feeling like I have that freedom to really build whatever I want to build. And then kind of going from there, like sometimes I'll switch out if like a card is too expensive, but I want to play the deck, then I might just like take the expensive test card out and then put like a real cheaper card in. Like that's also something I've done in the past. But yeah, just trying to switch it up, game by game, seeing like, oh, was I really playing this card? Was I looking for this card ever? And if not, maybe cutting it for something else that might help further my win con. That's how I go about, that's like the gist of how I go about building decks.
All right. So I think that then begs the next question, Anna. So you did mention your love of auto includes, as we would also call them staples, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to know, here as someone myself who loves running a lot of pet and janky cards. That's kind of one of my calling cards. I guess I'm curious to know how many pet cards typically make it into one of your standard lists, and just are. Is that kind of the sort of thing you enjoy doing, or do you enjoy kind of running staples because you know that they're going to have that same that really consistent punch every turn or every game?
So kind of both. Like for example, like I mentioned, I played Teferi's Protection in every deck with white. It's just such a good card. And like I probably have like three real cards and five proxies of it just because I always want to be playing it no matter what deck it's in. I have to have it in my deck. other cards, for example, I have like a Craterhoof Behemoth is probably one of my favorite creatures. And I have it in my unicorn deck, and I try my hardest to have it in every green deck that I play. Sometimes it doesn't work out so well. Like, why would I have a Craterhoof in my five color dragon deck? That seems kind of silly. But I try to put that one into as many decks as I can as well, just because I love him so much.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, especially when you have a plush Craterhoof Behemoth that's running out there. I mean, how could that thing engender any ill will, honestly?
Right.
All right. So at the beginning of the show, I completely forgot to ask what kinds of decks you like building. I know we talked about that in the pre-show, but I think the listeners out there would really like to know what kinds of decks you really enjoy playing.
I really enjoy playing creature heavy decks. Like the I have big dragons, big unicorns, like big angels, big demons. I love just playing out creatures, building up my board, going wide, and then swinging in for the damage and winning by combat damage. That's probably my favorite way to play Magic.
Creature beats, nice. I enjoy that
Yeah.
too. Especially with large creatures that you can just build up over time. And that again, that's where the Teferi's Protection really comes in, right? Because you're able to get
Yeah.
these huge creatures out there, then you're able to protect them through whatever it is. Whereas I'm a big token player, and Teferi's Protection would just hose me more than my opponents would. So for me, it's like one of those cards that doesn't really always hit my radar personally, because I just play a little bit differently, even though we still kind of have the same strategy in the end.
Yeah, so like because like you just said, because I play big creatures, I sometimes it takes me, I don't know, 5 to 8 turns to really build up my board to where I feel like this is good. I can kill all three of my opponents at once, like, because I usually play in a pot of 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get everyone at once if I can. But then if a board wipe comes along, I really need to be able to protect all my stuff, because then if my board gets wiped, then I'm just like, oh no, all my stuff is gone. It's going to take me a while to like restabilize. But again, with my unicorn deck, that is something that I've been able to problem solve a lot more than all my other decks. I still don't know how to do that with my big dragons. That's really hard to rebuild a board state after all the dragons go away. But that's just like another way to problem solve. Like, how do I get all my stuff back on the board after getting board wiped? Or do I just like try and get lucky with that Teferi's protection?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So now that we've talked about the staples a little bit, are there any under the radar cards that you enjoy using that you just really want to get out there in the open that you really just kind of feel like are staples, but may not be in everyone's wheelhouse for like these are the 100 best cards in each color? Just what underrated cards do you just enjoy using and surprising people with?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. The first things that come to my mind are Loyal Unicorn and Prized Unicorn. They are both like really good cards, especially in decks that you're trying to like win in with combat damage. A Loyal Unicorn has the ability where I think if you control your commander, all your creatures gain vigilance and they don't take combat damage. Just so you can just like attack out and not have to worry about any repercussions. And that's come in handy so often, even more so with that Prized Unicorn on the field, because a Prized Unicorn says all creatures that that are able to block have to block this one creature. And if you have both of them out, then your opponents have to block your one unicorn. You can get all this damage through, and then none of your creatures are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
From combat damage because of Loyal Unicorn. So
yeah, it's definitely a good card. I can attest that as well.
Yeah, so I think just like overall, I think more white decks need to look at that Loyal Unicorn card and more green decks need to look at that Prized Unicorn card because that can come in handy.
For sure. I back when I was first playing MTG and I was really getting into Commander, I was utilizing Loyal Guardian, which is the green version in that cycle, which gives your creatures +1/+1 counters. Only problem was I didn't really understand how interaction worked very well, so it would just get blown up, or, you know, I'd just get a bunch of counters and I'd have nothing to do with them. So, yeah, but Loyal Unicorn has always just felt like, you know, that's the kind of card you want in a deck that's just going to go wide swing, because it's instant protection for all of your creatures. It's honestly even better in a lot of cases than is it Bastion Protector, I think, the one that gives your commander indestructible only, something like that. In the mm-hmm. fact, it gives your entire team indestructible. So it's really nice, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I mean, as long as it's on your turn, obviously, there is a bit of a catch there, but it's still really good.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is like it's for when you're going to attack. So yeah. Like you can swing out with all your big creatures and small creatures and not get scared of them dying because they're not going to take any combat damage.
Sure, sure, sure. Just hope your opponent doesn't have a Settled Wreckage in hand, I suppose. But,
oh my god.
That card. I filled you with fear now without intending to. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Just a little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The things I sometimes see in my playgroup, and we don't necessarily play Settled Wreckage all the time, but there's a lot of those kinds of effects, so sometimes I get a little bit scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, but enough about my playgroup. So anyway, Anna, now that we've basically kind of gone through your process for building the decks, I want to know, as we finish up this show, what is a new deck that you've been working on, are working on, or have just finished that you really just want to talk about for a minute or two, that you're just really excited, you want to talk about, and you want to share with the world?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I think I'm working on about like 10 different decks right now.
Wow.
Wow. I know, but it's absurd. And I just built one last night. But I think the one that I'm most excited about is my CEDH Ninja deck. And my commander for that is the brand new one from the Kamigawa Neon Dynasty.
Okay.
I can never pronounce his name, but it's I think it's Umezawa.
The one that gives ninjutsu to everything, yeah, right? Yeah.
Satoru Umezawa, and it gives each creature card in your hand has ninjutsu. And I was like, wow, I'm so inspired to build this right away. So I was starting to put together a deck on my Mox field, and I was like, wow, this is like getting really mean. Like, I could just cheat out like crazy creatures like a Blightsteel Colossus and kill someone on like turn three or turn two or something crazy. And I was like, maybe I just turn this into a really competitive deck. So I talked to a few friends, and I really like honed it into like a super CEDH deck. It has Thoracle in it. It has Yuriko in it. It has a bunch of oh my God, I can't pronounce it. Praetors in it.
Praetors, yep.
Yeah, Praetors. Yeah, and it's just so gross. And I'm so excited to play it and get these cards in. CEDH is something I've wanted to get into for a long time. And I was like super intimidated by it. Super intimidated by the price, the players. But after finding this whole community of really nice CEDH players on Twitter, I'm just like all in now. Like, I want to see how competitive I can be with Commander. And this is the deck for me to like really get me into this. So I'm so excited to play it.
Nice, nice. I feel the same way about my own deck. I also homebrewed my first CEDH deck a while back, utilizing some ideas from the CEDH community out there. And I'm not going to say the deck is good. I know the listeners out there on the podcast know that I've been talking about this for a long time, and it never really goes anywhere, I suppose, because it's not the best strategy. But again, I think CEDH is more about just, you know, doing something and having fun than worrying about is it necessarily the most consistent. That's just me. But I just enjoy being able to play with powerful cards, do powerful things, and, you know, if you die in four turns, you know, you just shuffle up and play again versus maybe being stuck out there for another eight turns or something where, you know, you're out of the game, you're just sitting there, you're not doing anything. At least here the game ends sometimes faster. So
yeah, and I feel like this with this like community of people on Twitter, like everyone is just like they want to see what you can do as fast as you can do it. And if they lose in two turns, like, your deck goes off, then that's cool. Let's shuffle up and play again. Like, they just want to, like, see everyone's deck do the thing. And that's, like, really cool. And I'm just, like, really excited to, like, be a part of that.
For sure, for sure. All right, Anna, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to guest on the show today. It's been great having you. It's been great talking about your building processes, your auto includes, staples, and just, you know, that new CEDH deck of yours. We're definitely going to have to see where that goes here in the next couple of weeks when you first get your games in.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And again, where can people find your content on the internet if they're interested in checking out this new CEDH deck, your Mox field, or just anything that you do?
Right, so I am AnnaMT1992 on all my social media, including Moxfield, where my CEDH Ninja deck is currently up there and ready to view. I am very active on Twitter, and I stream every Thursday and Sunday over on Twitch.
All right, sounds good. And if you're interested in hearing any of the previous Noah Brewer series episodes that I have done on this podcast or any of the back catalog of the podcast in general, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That is Google, Apple, Spotify, Rocket Cast, Pocket Cast, MTG Cast, CastBox, and a whole bunch of others. I never always remember them. Oh, Podbean too. Yeah, I never remember all of them, but if it's a major podcast, you can probably find it there. I'm also available on the Twitters at MTG in Quarantine. If you find the happy-looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones, you found the right place. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity again to give another huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who've supported me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, and Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And I very much hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.